Welcome back to the Big Move Podcast. I'm your host, Em. I'm a content creator, podcast producer, and a mother. And as I thought about a new season of the podcast, I went back to my roots and what made me start this show to begin with. At its core, it's this idea of connection, relatability, and motivating each other through the impactful conversations we're having as women. I'll be talking to the same powerhouse caliber of female guests that I know are going to light you up, but we're getting real on how they've redefined themselves in entirely new seasons and phases of life. We're honing in on what fuels us, what brings us back to ourselves, and ultimately, what keeps us moving. So with that, let's get into new episodes. Okay, so this week's episode is from a live podcast recording that took place out here in Connecticut at Tanya Taylor, an incredible women's wear brand that's been worn by the likes of Michelle Obama, Taylor Swift, and Beyonce. No big deal. I was joined in conversation by Tanya, the fashion designer herself, and our dear friend and style creator, Amy Guzzi. Honestly, I'm still coming off the buzz of an event like this. It's all about the energy and the group in the room. And that night, we had this incredible medley of industry friends and fans of Tanya, the brand, and Amy. It really was a moment I want to relive over and over again. We covered so much with these two amazing women, from taking the leap to launch businesses in your 20s in New York City, what it takes to be successful in the fashion industry and content world, career pivots, city to suburbs moves, tying your name to your brand, and ultimately what it takes to continue to evolve in business in more complex seasons of life and work and motherhood. Thank you again to everyone who joined that night. I am personally manifesting many, many more of these in-person moments, that is for sure. Anyway, I hope you enjoy the chat and let's get into it. Okay, we're rolling. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Big Move Podcast. We're live at Tanya Taylor in Greenwich. I'm very, very excited to be here tonight. I'm here with Tanya Taylor herself in the flesh, live and in person. And we have our amazing guest and style creator, Amy Guzzi, who I know a lot of you already know and follow. But just to kick off, I wanted to thank Tanya and your amazing team for putting on, which is going to be such a fun, special night, and I'm so happy to have everyone here. And just to welcome all of you into the room, I'm very, very happy about the group we were able to bring together tonight. Live and in person is the way that I always want to do this podcast, so thank you all for being here and giving up your busy Tuesday nights to be with us. I know how busy everybody is with work and life and motherhood and all the things, so we appreciate you all so much. A quick one from me. Greenwich is feeling really symbolic and a little surreal for me. 3 years ago, I moved back from London. I spent 6 years there and I had my two kids there. 3 years ago, Greenwich was actually the first town that my husband and I moved back to. And it's like a core memory in my mind that's like forever ingrained. We landed at JFK with something like 15 checked bags, two strollers, my two kids in tow that were 4 months and 2.5 at the time. So Greenwich for me marks like a little bit of PTSD. I'm not going to lie. We moved in the middle of a blizzard the week before Christmas and just like rocked up to our rental in Greenwich that we would be there for the following year. So with that said, Greenwich is also such an anchor for me and my family. I spent many a times walking up and down this avenue, just like thinking about what our life was going to look like here. That's enough from my ramble. We're going to jump into the conversation with these two amazing women, Tanya and Amy. Thank you guys so much for being here and welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
So just to kick off, we're going to do just quick introductions from each of you. Tanya, if you want to kick off, just who you are and what you're all about.
Yeah, so I'm Tanya Taylor. I'm a mom of two boys. I'm Canadian. I'm a fashion designer, and we're sitting inside my store in Greenwich, Connecticut, and I'm so happy to be part of Greenwich's community. I liken it a little to Toronto. Like, I think that I just have gotten to know some of the women here and it feels so warm and welcoming. And it's really fun to design clothes thinking of the people that live here.
Mm-hmm. I'm Amy Guzzi. I'm a mom of two and I live in Connecticut, Weston, and I'm a stylist and content creator. And I have a line of Italian shirts, button downs.
I love it. So I always like to set the stage and get the lay of the land with all of my conversation around what's your big move. When you think back around your career trajectory specifically, is there like a pivotal turning point or something that stands out for you that you would want to just set the stage for?
Yeah, I think mine was probably a move of what I studied. So like when I was younger, I studied finance. I went into my undergrad at McGill University in Montreal, and I thought I was going to be a banker and wear suits and be with boys all day. And I realized I was just missing that creative outlet. So I moved to New York, and I moved to New York knowing nobody. Like, I didn't even have a person I could call if something happened. So I think a big move for me was by cities and by choice to go to fashion school. And I went to Parsons, and I just kind of followed my heart in finding great jobs in startups where I could learn as much as I could and try to make friends as quickly as I could. And I think I was so naive that that move felt less scary. Yeah. It felt like I had the courage to just ask a lot of questions and kind of figure out who I was at the same time of, you know, figuring out my career.
Yeah. I feel like I was listening to you on a podcast, and you kind of called out this PR person that you had a meeting with. Yeah. And you were brand new to New York, and you said, I didn't have, you know, where do I start kind of thing. And I think that's like really empowering, just to call out that you didn't have that like network already set up.
No. And I had no playbook. Like, I didn't have any family in fashion, and I didn't really have a mentor yet in fashion. So just knowing what you do for Fashion Week, shows, collections, it was a lot of learning on the job. And I worked for Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen for 3 years, and they were starting their business. And I feel like that was just the right place at the right time, because I could see from the ground up what it looked like to start a company.
Yeah.
And that was really helpful.
Totally.
So my biggest move is, I actually have a master's in special ed. I was a special ed teacher in New York City for emotionally disturbed kids, which I actually really loved. My grandparents were from Italy. My dad was a principal. And he was like, I always loved fashion. He was like, I'm not paying for you to go to college to study fashion. Like, that's not a real job. You need to like have a real job. And I also grew up on the other end of Connecticut, where there was no jobs. And so I met my husband. I had my son, Joey, and I stopped working. And that was when, like, kind of all of the influencers or content creators, I hate the word influencer, were starting to, you know, the pioneers like Ariel Charnas, the blonde salad, who's now like Chiara Ferragamo or whatever her last name is.
And Daniel Bernstein.
Yeah, all of them. And I had such bad baby blues after my son was born. And I just was like, I'm going to start taking pictures of my outfits. And my husband, who drives me crazy, but is like the biggest supporter, was like, you should. And so I started writing about motherhood and taking pictures of my outfits. And I always, like, I think I've said this, I know some of you have come to my other talks, but like, my biggest regret was, I moved to Connecticut. I became pregnant with my daughter. I lost my little like FIT photographer, and I stopped. And like, I remember Anthropology reposted my picture walking through Central Park, and it was, you know, it wasn't so oversaturated like it is now. I mean, there's so many people doing this. Mm-hmm. And I got like 10,000 followers on that one day. And I moved to Connecticut, and I stopped doing it. And then when I came back 4 years later, it was so oversaturated. But I just think that, you know, social media can get like a bad reputation, especially for young kids. But it's also a really beautiful thing, because you can be whoever you really want to be in this day and age if you have the confidence to do it and you're hardworking. So that's my story.
Yeah. No, I love it. And Amy, I feel like we grabbed coffee, and I can totally relate to that like 2013-14 era, starting our blogs and our Instagram in New York City, and that turning point for you. Was the unknown around it a little scary, though? Because I feel like for us, like, again, that word influencer, that was not a thing yet.
But he was like, what are you doing? Like, why are you taking pictures of your outfit? And I mean, I also always say this, like, Rome wasn't built overnight. And I mean, I don't even have a ton of followers compared to everyone else. And I definitely don't always get, you know, the most likes. I'm also like 46 years old. I could care less about likes. But I make good money doing this, more than I ever did as a teacher. And I think that the biggest piece of advice I could give anybody is that, like, Rome wasn't built overnight. And it took a lot of years of just being like, what am I doing? And my husband being like, what are you doing? My kids were in school full time. He's like, don't you think you should get a real job? And now it's like, I'll never forget when the accountant I hired, like, told my husband how much I made that year. And of course, I didn't save a dime for taxes. And he was like, I cannot believe. And I was like, see? So, I mean, it's an interesting thing. People are like, how do you make money on Instagram? Mm-hmm. And people don't know.
Yeah.
But it also probably makes you happy, right? Like, I feel like self-expression of getting dressed. And
well, yeah. I mean, I just met with my friend for lunch, Elizabeth Bullen, you know, who's a big interior designer in New York City. And I was saying to her, like, we both built this ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing, especially to show my daughter someday that I built this.
Yeah. Absolutely. I feel like what's so interesting too about the two of you is you have very unique POVs and positions within the fashion industry, but there's actually many thread lines between the two of you. I think one of those things is like putting your name to your brand. Mm-hmm. And no doubt that takes a lot of confidence to just like put yourself out there, I imagine too, in the early days with building Tanya Taylor specifically. So I love to kind of talk about those initial hurdles of like mm-hmm. tying your name to your brand. What were some of the things you felt like you had to overcome?
Well, I think it's you're growing up at the same time that your brand is getting, you know, recognized or kind of growing up in people's minds. And so I started the brand when I was 25, and that's really different to I'm 40. Like, so I think it just feels like where I was at that age and what I really mm-hmm. understood by putting your name on a label mm-hmm. and then it becoming that the marketing and the message and the brand itself becomes a reflection of yourself. That wasn't necessarily in my you know, to-do list at 25. I think I was just thinking, let's make cool clothes and like start something. My husband always questions. He's like, would you do it differently? I don't think so. I think it's such a personal brand. I always want it to feel like it's coming from a really personal point of view that I'm comfortable with it. But we did start a second brand like a year ago with a different name mm-hmm. called Delphine. Yeah. And that was kind of, I think, a fun experiment to realize that having a character that's not you and being able to filter your creativity through a brand name that's not you is actually quite liberating. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I can put maybe my more like extreme, kooky, playful ideas in that brand and no one will judge it as being me. I'm like, she likes partying really late at night and she's wild. And everyone's like, okay. But it's nice because it's not... Yeah. Yeah. It's not something I have to be too.
Right. So that's kind of that outlet. And I imagine, Amy, it's a little bit different for you. You have to come to camera. You have to show up. It's really all on you and kind of what you're putting out there. So you've been doing this a really long time, but take us back to kind of the earlier days of like showing up, coming to camera. What did you have to kind of just get over?
Well, I just think that's like the beautiful thing that comes with age. Like, I don't give a shit about what, like, you know, people used to say, like, all you do is post expensive stuff. And then, you know, all you do is post cheap stuff. It's like, somebody always has something to say, you know, and when things happen in the world, like people were coming at me left and right about like, you're not saying anything. Meanwhile, I'm a fashion blog. Like, I don't say anything political. You know, people just always have a reason to come at you. And I think that's a beautiful thing about getting older that I probably couldn't have handled when I was 26 is the criticism that you get a lot of times doing this.
So I imagine there's women in this room and also for listeners who are maybe thinking about starting a brand, a business, a company, or a content lane. What would you kind of pass on to them?
I think you have to consider what are you distinctively good at and what will you have enough passion to do over and over and over. Because if it's a content lane, consistency is key and you're going to want to do the same kind of content and really own it and get better at it and enjoy it. And I think for me, it's like, I love color. I love print. I love happy clothing. I love, you know, making people feel confident in clothes. And I can live with building that over and over and over each season so that it always feels like an exciting challenge and it's not draining.
Yeah.
I would say the same thing. I absolutely love what I do and I never get sick of it. And I love like going on the internet or to stores and being like, oh my God, this will sell so well. I actually like get a high from it when it does well. I'm like, this is, and I also just think it's very important to stay true to yourself. You know, I'm not somebody that really follows trends. I love color and prints as well, but I really stay true to myself. It's very easy, I think, to be like, oh, this is on trend, but it's not me. So I think that's the biggest piece of advice I would give and, you know, and working hard work.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Consistency, hard work, just keeping it all moving. So International Women's Day was on Sunday, but it's really International Women's Month, as we know. So we love to celebrate this all month long. Resiliency is something that comes up a lot in my conversations with women like you. It's just that ability to fall, to fuck up, make mistakes, and just get back up and keep going. So does that come up for the two of you? And like, in what form, what are we reaching for to just power through in those more stickier, challenging days?
I mean, I would say, honestly, like my husband once told me this, and it's like the best piece of advice. He's always like, you're not that important. And I think that, and
it's, I want to meet your husband.
And it's so true because if you show an outfit that people don't like, or it's a bust, it literally goes through someone's mind for a second. Like people are not like sitting around all day being like, I can't believe Amy Guzzi posted that. Like, what was she thinking? And I think that like the biggest thing, if you're ever going to do this, number one, someone once told me, which I think is the best piece of advice, is that if you're creating a service for someone, it takes the ego away from it. But you always have to keep your ego in check with this, because you're putting yourself out there for everybody to judge, but nobody really cares. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think that's like the best advice. And I still spiral. I still will spiral if someone says something and, you know, and he just always is like, nobody cares, Amy. And I'm like, you're right. Nobody cares.
Yeah. It's worth moving on.
It's worth moving on.
Yeah. I feel that way too. I feel like my mom always would say one step in front of the other, or one foot in front of the other. And I always be like, obviously. Like, I was like, you know, until I grew up and I realized that's kind of the key to life is something comes at you, keep problem solving. How do you just keep moving forward? And that might be, you know, something that happens with your kids that totally derail you in the morning to get ready for the meeting you had the next, you know, first thing in the morning. Like, I feel like I've been asking for more of what I need. So if I'm late, say I need 15 more minutes, I'll be there. I just need to, you know, be there with the state of mind that I'm ready for, like a good meeting. But I feel like it's just persevering. And again, kind of not thinking that everything is so serious that it's going to stop you. Like, it can't stop you. You can kind of keep inching your way forward and getting through the day.
I mean, they call it the spotlight effect, I think. I feel like I've been seeing that a lot on social. If you guys follow Sahil Bloom, I think he literally just posts, he's like a thought leader in the more like the wellness space, but he posted something today that was literally that. It was like, no one cares what you're doing.
And Mel Robbins, like, let them. If people are going to be like mad at you or like angry with you about, you know, not posting something political, like, let them be mad at you. That has nothing to do with me.
Yeah, totally. So getting into a little bit of nitty gritty motherhood questions for the two of you. And I know we were kind of talking, we're all in like kind of different phases and stages and seasons of motherhood. From an outsider's perspective, it feels like the two of you have done a very phenomenal job of blending work and motherhood and having your careers evolve alongside motherhood, which we know is not easy. And we know that that's not the case. So I'd love to kind of peel the curtain back a little bit. What is something that you reach for that helps you practically manage both your business and the stuff that goes down with kids on a day to day?
I definitely like think of my mom. Like, my mom was so good at working really, really hard and then also coming home and having a lot of fun with me. And so she would come home and we would do arts and crafts all the time. Like, my husband played on a lot of sports teams, and I'm coming to realize I played on none, but I would do 10 hours of crafts Saturday and Sunday. And that was our bonding relationship. So I think I model my relationship and how I get through things a little bit like how I grew up. And that means when I'm at work, for better or worse, I'm not worried about if my kids are okay. They are at school and the school will call me if they need me. Otherwise, I'm really, really focused on work and I'm really trying to maximize all the decisions and the things I need to get done. But then when I go home, I like to play with them. I feel like that kind of breaks me out of the mode of work. So whether that's like, I'll play hockey with them, we'll do a fun painting project. Like, I need activities. I'm not great when I just like sit with them. Like, I get bored and I want to go on my phone and do more work. So I feel like I need to kind of jump into like a life that really builds memories with them. And then that helps me like feel like I'm good at both. And it actually gives me energy back to like have those mother moments that feel really special.
It sounds like you're good at compartmentalizing a little bit, like taking your designer hat off, you're putting your mom hat on, and you're like kind of tunnel vision, which I think is really healthy. And the multitasking is what gets me, I think, like in a tailspin.
And they're naturally so part of this brand because they're coming to the store all the time. Their school's like 5 blocks from our store on Madison. They tell all their friends to go shop at it, which I like. I really appreciate.
So
we had one boy go in with, his name was Caden, and we have a Caden turtleneck. And my son told him that his mom needs to go buy him the Caden turtleneck. And so they walked in, and I got a note from our store team being like, a 6-year-old just came in looking for a Caden turtleneck. And I just, it made me so happy. So they're in my work life often that I don't want to bring my work conversation home to them. Like, I want them to feel like there's family time.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in a different phase. I have like preteens, so say a prayer for me. But it's just an exciting time because you're getting to see who they're really going to be. And I just, you know, I like, you know, them watching me work. And And I don't know, it'll also be an interesting thing because my son's 13 to see how the whole social media thing plays out with me on it so much. I just think it's important to show my kids that I work hard.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. What about the overwhelming days where things are erupting all at the same time, like putting fires out with your business, something's going wrong with the kids, you are mentally overloaded. What are you reaching for? I feel like we talk about this all the time, but I'd love to dig in and find out what you're actually doing to kind of overcome.
Reality TV and popcorn is the real answer.
True food, like a whole bag.
There's like a really good Uber Eats place that I get like Nutella crepes from that come, like, and they'll deliver up until midnight. I have a great husband. Like if I'm melting down at work, he's jumping in big time. I have an amazing nanny. Like I need to fix the work stuff and also just decompress.
Sure.
And then that's a moment where they take over.
Yep.
Yeah, same. I mean, I have a great husband and my mom lives with us, so she helps out a lot. I mean, I have more of the emotional stuff because my kids are older, but yeah, I would say chocolate, a glass of wine, reality TV.
Yeah.
Friends, yeah. Like, exercise.
Yeah.
Fair. And you kind of answered my next question of like, how do you kind of come back to yourself? And it feels like that's how you do that. You kind of decompress, you bring it back to you, you do something you personally just want to carve out time for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I am like, I really do like playing games. And so I feel like a lot of like Friday night game nights with friends immediately make me feel like I live in like a small community with my besties and nothing's wrong. Like you just code names, I think, kind of like solves everything.
Yeah. And the kids always like bring you back to like what's important.
Yeah, they really do.
Yeah. I love that. So you've both built careers off of a very unique and personal point of view, which I love. As the business grows, how do you stay true to that?
Well, I think that what's nice about how we've grown is it's a personal point of view, but it's infused in what we're learning from a customer. And so I like listening. I'm definitely a designer that isn't trying to force anything that's not approachable, comfortable, flattering, realistic to people. Mm-hmm. So I think it can grow because I just listen more and we get more people to listen to. Yeah. And that actually is like a really beautiful part of how the brand has grown. It has felt less like we're guessing what the trend is or what we need to make. And we instead get to see pictures of how people are wearing us, or we hear, you know, everyone coming into the store and where they're buying us to wear in their lives. And I feed off of that kind of information. And it makes me really inspired to continue designing.
Yeah. Love that.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, just listening to your audience for sure. You know, I see the analytics and, you know, what sells and what doesn't. And so and just staying true to yourself is, you know, what I said before. And I have like I think 40 to plus community is really my following. And so if I'm, you know, posting like short shorts or something, it's, I know it's not going to sell. So it's just, you know, you after a while just know.
Yeah.
So kind of officially getting into our style segment of the night, which I'm so excited. I feel like spring is finally here. We're coming out of the woodwork of what was a very dark, long winter.
Sure.
I feel like personal style and confidence, they're so, so, so linked. I remember when I moved to Greenwich, I was postpartum. It was the middle of winter. I just was not feeling it. I was not feeling myself. What are some easy tricks, tips, tweaks that we can make to just boost our confidence? Or like whether it's for a big event like tonight, what are you reaching for personally?
I personally think lipstick. You know, I think you get to a certain age and if you don't have like any lip color on, you just look dead. So I really love a good shade. I mean, I don't really have, but you know, that's like one thing my mother said to me, because back in the 80s, she used to like smear Wet n Wild and I swear she would like wake up in the morning and still be on. Yeah. So she'd always be like, you get to a certain age. And now I guess, because like people, like I'm, you know, photographed or taking videos, I'm like, oh my God, I look so dead in that. So I'll like, you know, go put on a lipstick.
Yeah.
And I also just feel like my videos do better, like sales wise, when I have lipstick on.
Yeah.
Who knows, guys? But that's what I'm going with.
Pop a color
every time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like I don't know. I feel like just try something you wouldn't think goes together. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like there's nothing more fun than putting an outfit together that isn't perfect, in my opinion, and that you're like, ooh, like this says something different, or this makes me feel different, and then you just get to enjoy like a little pep in your step.
I would have never put all these greens together, and I love it.
I would never either. And I had 10 minutes before we were coming here, and they were all in my office. I was going to wear like a cashmere, like a camel colored sweater. And we've never even put this together on e-com or anything. And I was like, I like all these weird mixes of greens. And it's like, it's fun to just be a little lighthearted about it. Like, yeah. Again, no one cares yeah. as much. So like, just try something that maybe you will like, or you'll go home and be like, that didn't work.
Yeah.
But at least evolve.
Yeah. And that was my next question, is like talking through outfits for tonight. Amy, you do such a good job of like strategically styling and elevating things. Talk to us about how you kind of thought about your look for tonight.
Well, I always tend to like pick something that's fancy. And obviously Tanya has like a bunch of beautiful fancy dresses, skirts. And I just wanted a real like nice dress that I could wear all spring and summer long with a normal bra. Cause like sometimes yeah. I feel like if I'm going somewhere like out to eat with my kids. If I can't wear a normal bra, I'm not wearing it.
Yeah. Totally.
And like, this is something that is so comfortable. You can wear granny panties with it and no one will know.
Yeah.
And you know, that's what I'm about. I have pockets. Mm-hmm. I love the little collar here. I think it's a beautiful color, you know, with a little tan. And it's just so comfortable and easy to wear. It's called the best dress, right?
Yeah.
Because it's just, it's the easiest way to look put together. And you could, like, I have heels on with it. You could wear it with flats. You could wear a little jacket over, a sweater over your shoulder, a scarf.
Yeah, easy to style up. Right?
Yeah, easy yeah. to style
up. It looks great on you.
Thank you. Yeah. I love it.
I'd love to touch on city to suburbs dressing because Ooh. It does not feel straightforward. I came here from London. Everyone's in blazers and trousers going to get their coffee. I realize New York's a little bit more gritty, and you obviously have a lot of experience with that. But you opened a store in Greenwich Avenue, right? So
yeah.
this is relevant to you too. How are, as moms, like on our day-to-day, just like running to the preschool pickup, still looking cute and elevated, but not overdressed? It feels hard.
Yeah. I always overdress. I don't care.
I do too. I
yeah,
definitely
it's like,
look
what happened to us? I feel like COVID really did a number on everybody.
Mm-hmm. But I like to be comfortable. Like, I think a trench coat is yeah. number one. Like, mm-hmm. a really good outerwear piece feels like, you doesn't even matter what you're wearing, but like, it's just such a good polishing note. And then you should have great flats in your like yeah. world of like
mm-hmm.
loafers
mm-hmm.
and little ballerina flats and stuff. And I feel like just running around in that makes it practical because... Yeah. You can go anywhere, and like in New York, you're obviously going, you know, subway and everything, but I always feel comfortable if I have like a good coat and good shoes.
Yeah, I would say that. And that's yeah. like the best thing to travel with too. Like a good coat and sneakers
yeah.
is like all you need.
Yeah.
I think that's what I appreciate about your brand, Tanya, too, is I think you called this out in an interview or a podcast or something, that like, you're never going to do the athletic legging. Like,
no.
It's not the jam. It's not the one. But there are other things that we can wear and still look cute and casual and put together.
Yeah. I also envy the women. Like, I do drop off on the Upper East Side every morning, and then I go to Butterfield Market, and I get a coffee and a chia seed pudding thingy, and I sit on the bench, and I watch all the women go by. And, like, most of them are wearing leggings and, like, really cute aloe socks and their sneakers. And I, like, I get it. I'm like, oh, you guys feel like you're, like, bouncing, like, along on the streets where, like, I feel like I'm... I don't know, balleting.
Well, it's like, those $34 socks.
Yeah, yeah, but there's a real kind of bounce to them. And I think it's so cute. I just don't need to design it.
Yeah, I'm on the same page.
Yeah.
What are some of your favorite spring, summer styling tips, trends?
I'm really into like the silk pants.
Yeah.
You know, what you have on. I just like
yeah,
love
this
the
looks
silk.
So good on you.
And the silk pants yeah. with the elastic waist. I mean,
yeah.
getting back to mm-hmm. not, you know, but they're so chic and so easy to wear. And I love all the colors and the patterns, just so pretty. And I'm really into this mint green, which is like we're seeing a lot of.
Yeah, a lot mm-hmm. of green going on. I also feel like cardigans, like so many pop color cardigans, cashmere cardigans feel mm-hmm. like the easiest way to still wear like denim, but mm-hmm. then get a pop of like a new color story for
yeah.
spring.
Yeah. Love that. Any tips on resort dressing? Spring breaks, you're with the kids, but you still want to look cute and comfortable. Anything that you're reaching for?
Yeah, I would say I always do a shirt dress. And like this is like a more comfortable shirt dress, variation to it. But I always say like a shirt dress is the easiest way to look put together in the spring and summer. And you can, like, we're taking our kids to Italy in April. And so it's, you know, I can walk around all day with a sneaker and a shirt dress and then like throw on, you know, a little pair of heels for dinner. It's just, and you know, we're going for 10 days. So it's obviously I can't pack, you know, a day and night outfit every day. I mean, you know, I want to, but I just think it's the easiest way to look put together.
Yeah.
I always travel with them.
And like you're not worried about stains and wrinkles. Like I feel like, yeah, shirt dress, I totally agree. It's like tailored and you always feel comfortable in it. And then I feel like anything that can go with a nice sandal, like strappy sandal that just feels like you're never going to be uncomfortable or look like you're getting too dressed up.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
My kids, like, I just want to put on something that's like beautiful, but relaxed when I'm with them. So I'm also not fussing and like thinking about myself.
So I have another silent question. You've been doing TT time. I don't know if you guys have been seeing it on their social. Yeah. It's super, super cute. Keep it going. Carolyn Bessette. Is there anything that's screaming like Carolyn Bessette, but like not just because it's such a trend right now?
We have this cashmere tank top that we felt she might wear. We have it in cream, we have it in blue, but it's just this like pretty little tank with the rib detail and the little twist. She'd wear this in like a monochrome way, like white on white.
I have one last question to wrap up with the both of you. Thank you. I feel like we could be here for hours having just amazing conversations. So thank you so much. I do have one last question for both of you before we end off and mix and mingle and have a drink and hang out with us. As a last question, I always love to ask my guests, what is it that lights a fire in you and what is it that keeps you moving?
I just love spreading joy and creativity. So that's through clothing, that's through art. I like the projects I'm working on with my kids are like illustrated little kids' books and stuff. That brings me a lot of joy. It also brings me a lot of joy for kids to start being introduced to art and creativity and feel like they don't have to be amazing, but that they can all kind of express themselves.
Yeah. I love that.
I would say, honestly, you know, I think when you have a creative mind and like love putting clothes together, just like everything, you think it's easy for everybody. And just like when somebody DMs me on Instagram and it's like, you've changed my wardrobe or you've helped me so much and you feel like you're really, you know, making a difference. Cause sometimes I'm like, I literally try on clothes in my hallway and film like and post it. And that's my job. And so it's nice to just hear from people. And you know, my kids obviously bring me a lot of joy.
Yeah. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
This was such an incredible conversation.
Thank you so much for having us.
Of course. Yeah. Thank you guys.
Thank you guys for coming.
Such good energy.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode. If there is someone you think this conversation would resonate with, please share it with a friend. Tag us on Instagram at The Big Move Podcast and at mroberts.m. Subscribe, follow, and leave a review and connect with us. We love to hear from you and we want to chat soon.